Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, all our social media outlets. We are also the official Dolphins content here for the Fan Sided Network and Fin Fanatic. Be sure to check us out on that too. So you see, I'm in a little bit of a lighter room. I've moved locations, which is kind of emblematic of a little bit of how I feel today compared to the last couple of nights here. I was in a dark basement, dark place. A lot of yelling. My wife actually was saying that, you know, you were getting really animated downstairs, and said, yeah, I was pretty pissed off. But that's changed a lot here, and it's because of one specific Dolphins signing here. As of 10 minutes ago, the Dolphins actually added another player. His name is Brennan Scarlett. He's an edge defender there. He's been with the Texans for a few years, played 11 games last year, didn't have any sacks, but then again, a lot of the Texans didn't do very well last year. The year before, he stepped in and he had a, I don't know the exact amount, but he had several sacks for him. He's played a lot of snaps. He's 6'4", 270, has a lot of versatility. So this is a signing off the cuff that I do. Paul, but the major signing obviously was Will Fuller. And it's one that we talked about here on really on Wednesday night when I was going on my rant. And it was a player I did not expect the Dolphins to sniff because of how things were going. And then we get an alert, 1 year, $10 million. So your thoughts?
I love the signing. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes even more sense if you're going to go with Pitts in the first round. I think it's low risk, high reward. I do worry a little bit about the injury history just because we've got Preston Williams. He gets hurt a lot. We've got Jakeem Grant, gets hurt a lot. Albert Wilson gets hurt a lot. Devontae Parker gets hurt a lot. And Mike Gesicki is a big old sissy, even though he's a heck of a receiver. So, you know, we've got a pretty broad injury history. I don't think it precludes us from going after the draft. I thought the contract terms were very interesting. The fact that he's basically making the veteran minimum, but he's got a $9 million signing bonus and $3 million, I believe it is, in incentives. So, I like it, though. I really do. I think he could add an element to this offense that really opens things up.
Gesicki, a sissy, after basically playing with a broken collarbone in the last couple of games. Those are pretty strong words there, and I completely disagree with that.
Dude, the guy blocked everybody that said they like Dallas Goedert on Twitter.
I don't care. I care about what he does on the field. It doesn't matter to me.
Watch him try to block. He's not a – I mean, I give him credit for the collarbone, but – come on.
I'm not looking for an inline blocking tight end with Gesicki. I think he blocks safeties and cornerbacks, which isn't too hard, but, you know.
Dude, when he blocked a corner, we were both shocked. Hey Dolphins fans, support for On the Fin Side is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We've got an exclusive offer for our listeners, which is 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower clean and easy. I now feel confident shaving my boys. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Kat and I already have our Perfect Package 3.0 on the way. What are you waiting for? Your balls will thank you. Make sure you get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20.
All right, we'll get back on point here because, I've taken us off the beaten path. I love this signing. I was elated with it, and for me, it took the offseason so far from a D to a B+. That's how much I care about it, because I wanted the Dolphins to get one big difference maker that not only created a ripple effect on the team, but also allowed them to cut down on needs heading into the draft. And that's exactly what Will Fuller does. Yes, he's got the injury history. There's no doubt about that. He also has suspended the last six games for PEDs. That's a major concern. And he's going to be suspended the first game for PEDs. But the other side of that is it's a one-year contract, and it really doesn't carry any risk. And this is a player that complements Devontae Parker very, very well, somebody that can line up on the boundary and go over the top. If you just take a look last year, if he was on pace for, get this, if he hadn't missed his last six games, he was on pace for 77 catches, 1,259 yards, and 12 touchdowns. And so had he played those last six games, he would have been asking for the $18 million that Kenny Golladay is trying to get out there in the open market. And I think he would have got it at 26 years old, given how he can attack teams down the field.
I'd agree with that. It's he would have deserved it. I mean, you look at some of the players getting $23 million right now, and it's insane. And it's one of those things where the Texans were always losing, so they always had to throw the ball. It's some of it's a proclivity for chucking it up from behind that I think we saw a lot of folks benefit from.
You bet. And it does also have an impact on how we look at the third pick in the draft, which we'll talk about here in just a second.
It does. I still want Pitts. Still want him. I still want to trade down.
My top three priorities have not changed. Penny Sewell, trade down, Pitts. If we can somehow find a way to get a trade down and get Kyle Pitts, which I don't think probably wouldn't happen, because the Dolphins, if they fell down to 8 or 9 or somewhere down there, he'd probably be off the board. But I don't think it's impossible that the Dolphins could still get somebody like that, or still get Kyle Pitts there. At the number 8 pick. It'll be fascinating. But now the Dolphins are not in position where they have to get a wide receiver, number 3, because I think they were backing themselves really into a corner on that. So, yeah, I'm elated with the signing. And look, if Will Fuller fails a drug test tomorrow for PEDs, I'm going to say the same thing. It was worth the risk. 1 year, $10 million. And this very easily could have been 18 or 19 million, but for some team before, if not for the suspension here at the end of the year. So,
you know what I just realized? I wonder if they manufactured the contract this way So if Fuller were to fail another PED test, they're able to go after the signing bonus.
That has happened before. I'm not sure if it's happened in this situation, but I'd have no insight of that.
I'd have to look. Sorry, it just occurred to me while we're sitting here on the air. Because I have seen teams go after signing bonus for a player missing time that they committed to. I wonder.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes they try to go after it, and then it gets pretty litigious from that point. So yeah, if it comes to that, we'll see. But right now, I'm very, very excited because now you head into the draft with Devontae Parker, who just 14 months ago led all AFC receivers in yards. You have Mike Gesicki, who was fourth in receiving yards in the NFL among tight ends. Now you've got Will Fuller, who had 879 yards in 10 games last year and offers that deep speed element. So very, very exciting stuff here. Now, I began the day even angrier than I was the night before, if you can believe that, because
they got your boy.
Well, I was at my friend's house and had I got an alert that said that the Dolphins land their center. So I looked at it and I'm like, oh good, they got David Andrews. At least I can end the day here saying the Dolphins got a starter instead of depth or backups or whatever the hell they were doing the two previous days. They got some decent players, whatever. But then I go into the full message and it's Matt, they signed Matt Skura 1 year, $1.75 million. I'm like, really? The guy that I was making fun of here a couple of days ago, the guy was saying, like, it was Chuck Knobloch in the 1990s who couldn't throw the ball to first base. And Matt Skura 2 years ago was a player that I loved. When that Thursday night game with the Dolphins got shellacked and Matt Skura was just punching people in the mouth out there in the Dolphins defensive line, I was like, man, I want a center like that. But then in 2019, he tore his ACL, MCL, his PCL. His 2020 season was a disaster. He did not play well. And then he got to two games in the middle of the season. He couldn't snap the ball. Supposedly he had a big cut on his hand one game. And then the next game they were playing in some pretty bad rain. So he had some really bad snaps. They benched him, put in Patrick McCurry there. And it was just a disaster of a season. He had to put out an announcement begging people to not give death threats to him and his family. So it got ugly. I mean, no doubt about that. But it was 1 year, $1.75 million. And I on one hand, I say, okay, if Matt Skura gets back to that point he was 2 years ago, this is a steal. But we can't ignore also what's happened over the last year with Matt Skura either.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he does moving forward, if the issues with the knee were part of the problem or what. Because I remember going into the offseason 2 years ago, or last offseason, I don't remember, but when he was poised to hit free agency, and we were both bummed about the knee injury because he was a guy that we looked at as a possible target, and the Dolphins eventually ended up with Ted Karras because the guy was hurt. And I think a lot of teams felt that way until he turned into Rube from Major League 2 and started chucking the ball all over the field instead of the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, we had a similar situation here in St. Louis, another baseball reference. And I don't like baseball, but Rich Ankiel, if you remember him, he was a pitcher for the Cardinals. And he just one day went out there and just started sailing the ball 20 feet over the batter's head. Nobody could explain it. Switched him to the outfield and, just was never the same pitching prospect, obviously. But, I'm not saying it's come to that. And, look, reclamation project. Fine. And it's possible that we just walk away at the end of 1 year and say he was just a decent depth player guard, and you're not really risking a lot. So that's fine. I was hopeful they weren't going to sign him for more than they signed Ted Karras. Ted Karras signs with New England for 1.4 or 1 year, $4 million. They get David Andrews back too, which I'm sure pissed off Ted Karras. I'm glad it was 1 year, $1.75 million. So that's not bad on that front. But Paul, another thing too is something that was being reported. Pro Football Network reported as well was at one point that the Dolphins were close to a deal with Chris Carson, and they weren't the only place that reported. So I'm not going to completely throw them under the bus on that. I love Chris Carson. I mean, I'm not a big fan of signing 27-year-old running backs who have been hurt, but man, he brings an attitude to the offense, and he's still out there as of right now. So we don't know if the Dolphins would be interested or not, but it's kind of like with the receivers where each day that goes by, the price tags are going down on those running backs. So two questions for you, Paul. Number one, would you be interested in Chris Carson for, let's say, $5 million if the Dolphins can move some dollars around? Or number two, or would you rather just wait until the NFL draft?
I think at this point, and this is not a dig at Carson because I do like the player, but looking at the fact that Miami's got about $12 million in cap space right now, and they're going to need most of that for draft picks and practice squad players, I think I'd rather just roll with the draft on that one. I don't think he's good enough, in my opinion, and durable enough, in my opinion, that you're not only cutting or signing Carson, you're having to move money around, whether it's cutting guys or restructuring players. And I just think the talent difference between him and some of these draftable running backs, I'd rather have them.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean that way too. I would be happy with either scenario.
Yeah.
You know, I think Carson could have, if we get a week from today and Chris Carson's still out there, when you look at what some of the running backs are getting, I mean, Marlon Mack's coming off an injury, but he went back for 1 year, $2 million to the Colts. If he's still sitting out there, it's like, hey, I could go to Miami and be a starting running back for $3.5-4 million a year. I think that's tremendous value at that point. And now you can really go best player available in the draft. But overall, I'm still looking at that 36 pick and saying, you know, Najee Harris may not be there, but Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, one of those three guys is going to be there. And I think that might look like the good situation. And because I don't think the Dolphins have adequately addressed the center position here, Creed Humphrey and Quinn Meinerz, somewhere in the, maybe not the first round, but somewhere in the second round, they could be very, very high considerations too.
They could. And not just them. I mean, as much as I don't like Landon Dickerson, I do think he's an upgrade over Matt Skura. You got Josh Meyer, and there's a number of other center this is probably the deepest class I've seen at center in a long time, to be completely honest with you on this one. And the intriguing thing to me would be, I know we talk a lot about trade downs, and I'm glad that Michael in our chat brought this up. The fact that, and I don't want to get all into the allegations, but the fact that Deshaun Watson looks to be kind of untouchable at the moment might lead some of these teams that might have been in on Watson to look to move up in the draft because it's an option that's just off the table. The Texans didn't seem interested before, and they might grow to regret that decision now at this point. But there could be some teams looking to trade up that might have been looking to go after Watson previously.
Yeah, it's safe to say, and, you know, we don't want to comment too much on it because of everything that's up in the air. But, yeah, I mean, it's at least throws a monkey wrench into everything that's going on. In addition to all the monkey wrenches that have already been thrown in there. So it's a situation that I don't see resolving itself by draft day in any way, shape, or form. And you're right, Paul, that you take a team like the Panthers that were supposedly willing to give their left arms for Deshaun Watson, their owner, you know, who is a guy that is known for getting what he wants. He wanted Watson and anything it took for it to happen. Now, I don't see that happening by draft day, at least. So you take a look at the Trey Lance and what he showed in his pro day, that arm strength, wowed people with his arm strength, kind of like Josh Allen did a few years ago. And kind of a new development, Justin Fields posts a video of himself supposedly running a 4.41. And then he said he's going to run a 4.3 at the pro day. You know, quarterback shouldn't matter that much, but this is a guy over a span of however many games had 51 touchdowns and one interception between 2019 and 2020. Then he had a couple bad games. But anyway, still a top prospect. What if the Dolphins moved from 3 to 4 with the Falcons, and then there was also a bidding war at number 4 for the 4th quarterback that the Dolphins could trade down for again? I mean,
it's not outside the realm of possibility, Kat.
It's not, and they'd get a haul on top of a haul.
I mean, I know you don't love mock drafts, but one of the scenarios that I've done a lot in some of these.
Oh
mocks,
God.
Well, no, I know.
Just get it out of the way.
One of these scenarios that, by the way, nice hat. I like it.
Look at that. Okay, nice.
But one of the scenarios I've done a lot is with Penei Sewell typically being on the board. I've typically traded down with the Bengals, who, you know, thinking of them trying to protect Joe Burrow, they don't always take Penei Sewell because, you know, automated drafts. And then wound up trading back again from 5 to 7 or 8 and accumulating just a little bit more and still being able to grab occasionally Kyle Pitts, occasionally Micah Parsons, occasionally one of the big three wide receivers. But here's the thing, with 3 or 4 quarterbacks going in the top 6 or 7 picks, one of those 5 players is sitting there always at 8 or 9.
Yeah, it's a mathematical certainty that it would happen because, you know, if the Dolphins are trading, letting somebody trade up to 3, they're taking the 3rd quarterback. And then after that, I can't see a scenario unless Fields falls off a cliff where he's not going somewhere in the top 8. Adam Schefter reported the other day, and he doesn't come out definitively. I mean, I'm not saying this guy's a genius or anything, but he came out and he said, take it to the bank. The top that 4 quarterbacks are going in the top 7. I believe that to be true. When you look at an offseason where Jared Goff a 3rd rounder and 2 firsts were traded for Matt Stafford, a 1st and a 3rd for Carson Wentz. Andy Dalton just got a starting job for $10 million. Ryan Fitzpatrick got a starting job again with Washington here for $10 million. Teams know they are screwed if they don't get a quarterback here. And Carolina, I think, is looking at themselves in that same situation. And now they didn't get Stafford. They're not going to get Deshaun Watson, presumably. So they're going to be desperate. And I think the Dolphins could really take advantage of that.
Yeah, and the interesting thing here is there's a lot of teams that are signing these guys that are on their last legs to be coming to be the starter at quarterback with no answer behind them either. So just because a team has taken somebody to start this year, don't count them out as a team that's trying to move up. Whether it's, you know, trying to come up and get like a Mac Jones at 18 if Miami's able to move down. It's not just in that top 10, but you're going to have a few teams here that are still sitting there playing musical chairs. And, God, the Bears are the biggest example. They tried to trade for Russell Wilson, crapped out on that, and I believe they don't pick until they've got 2 picks in the 2nd round.
They pick. I think so. And they pick 20th or 21st. I think 20th.
Oh, okay.
So they're not in a good spot. And why they made the decision to, I mean, the Bears are a mess. My friend Bob, who contributes on the show sometimes, who's our Bears correspondent. Yeah, he's not doing too well right now with that. Think of this. They signed Andy Dalton for $10 million, re-signed Jermaine Ifedi at guard for $5 million. Angelo Blackson, they give $3 million to. And then they cut Kyle Fuller, their Pro Bowl cornerback, because they say they don't have enough money. Like, you just signed 3 bozos. That's why.
But now they're talking to Galladay still, supposedly.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. There are reports that Allen Robinson wasn't down for his tender until he heard that they were talking to Galladay a little bit.
And I'm glad you mentioned Galladay, too, because, yeah, his name's still out there with the Giants, with the Ravens. With the Bengals, too, and that's interesting to watch, and the Bears. Now, looking at the Bengals, they already have Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, you know. So they're looking – it seems they're looking to add that 3rd receiver for Joe Burrow, and that makes a lot of sense. They also signed Riley Reiff today to play right tackle. I know he's 33 years old, but they did sign him to start. You know, when you give somebody $8 million – you're signing him to start. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals have in mind a Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase reunion. there at five, as opposed to trading up or even selecting Penei Sewell.
Yeah, which would be a catastrophic bit of idiocy. As good as Ja'Marr Chase is, the Bengals need linemen, and they need linemen badly. It doesn't matter how good Joe Burrow is or how much potential he has and how much toughness he has, which he's got all of those things. But, you know, you look at Matt Schaub with the Texans years ago. They kept trying to surround him with weapons and never put anything in front of him. So you had probably one of the more talented quarterbacks that I've seen to get the yips pretty early in his career, and at which point he never recovered. He turned into a chuck and duck that threw more pick sixes, I think, than he did touchdowns by the end.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see what's going on here. Before we wrap up, Paul, you know, we're taking a look at the free agents. Anybody else really jump out at you as, you know, one or two players that you might be interested in? Dolphins don't have a lot of money to spend. As you pointed out, you know, they've got what, 13, 14 million left, but they're going to have to allocate 12.5 million or so to the draft, presumably. But they can also, cut an Albert Wilson, a Allen Hurns, which isn't too much, Jesse Davis. And, you know, if it comes down to it, Bobby McCain or Jakeem Grant, which neither one of us really want. So, but anyway, looking out there, anybody else really interest you?
At the moment, I mean, I think Jerick McKinnon's still out there, and I think as time wears on, you can get him for a discount to come in and compete. I think if he's healthy, he could be an upgrade at least over Savon Ahmed if you can get him at the right price. The big thing I'd say with Allen Hurns, I think you want to designate him as a June 1st cut to actually save money if you were to make that move. But really, I'm starting to squarely turn towards the draft unless some really key cuts come in. Unless, you know, I haven't looked over the Texans roster to see who else we can get on the cheap. But, you know, since they've turned into our farm team moving forward here. But, yeah.
Yeah, so there aren't too many guys. One player I'd like that's out there, it depends on how hurt he is from last year, is safety Malik Hooker, who could really come in on a one-year prove a contract as we go along, get into a great secondary, a great scheme, and really set himself up well for the 2022 offseason. Jordan Jenkins is a name that, you know, I've always thought he was a little bit underrated. He might be able to, you know, kind of be that edge linebacker type player for the right price. T.Y. Hilton, we've talked about, and it would kind of lock you out from drafting a receiver in the top 10, like we've talked about, as far as I'm concerned. Well, maybe not lock you out, but you know, if Hilton says, hey, I could come to Miami for $3 or $4 million a year on maybe a 1-year contract, I think I can probably contribute. And I would agree with that. So Lawrence Guy is somebody that has experience with the Patriots. He can be a little bit more that edge player than we've seen from the recent Dolphins more so than the recent Dolphins defensive tackles. I don't think Adam Butler is that type of player, more of an interior rusher. A guy can more be moved around and set the edge a little bit as well. So those are a few guys I've got my name on here. And we've got a lot of time here before the April 29th NFL draft. That'll be the Thursday. And then Friday, you've got rounds 2 and 3 on April 30th. And then Saturday, May 1st, you're going to have rounds 4 through 7. So we've got a lot to talk about here in the upcoming weeks, and we are going to get crazy with the draft in the upcoming weeks, Paul, now that free agency has started to clear and the picture is coming a little bit more into focus. So anything else jump out at you?
No, I mean, it's one thing I just want to say is, as far as the Watson thing, and nothing to do with the news right now, I think the fact that we're talking about Miami having about 12.5 million in cap space, needing that space for the rookies and the practice squad, should pretty well squash the Deshaun Watson thing at this point. You would have to not only give up a ton of resources, but now probably release a number of resources to be able to even make it work in any shape or form. So I think at this point, you add the news to that. I think we're rolling with Tua moving forward.
I think that's definitely the case. I thought it was the case before all this, honestly, I haven't looked into it too much. It hasn't, I just haven't. And I mean, I think money wise they could make it work, and compensation wise they could make it work if it came to that. But there's so much to figure out before the draft with him that I don't think any way that that's going to happen. So yeah, I'm excited to roll with Tua. I always have been. It was always from a talent perspective. Watson is a different person and a different player on that level. So also too, yeah, we don't have to go down this road, but Deami Brown's, for some reason, you weirdos have mentioned him like 3 or 4 times in the chat. I'm just kidding. I love y'all. But yeah, he's a guy we're going to talk about a lot too. A vertical threat for North Carolina. He is one of a few players, or really the only player in this draft, who can say he has over 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons and over 20 yards a catch. I think the rest of his game is a little sloppy, but that one dimension that he has is quite a dimension. So we're going to talk a little bit more about him as we continue to go along.
Perfect. And then, Kat, one thing I have to say, because Tommy's been saying it all show and really for about the past 20 shows we've done, is I think a few folks are starting to get excited for us to do a mock. And I don't know when we're going to, but...
Listen, I hate mock drafts.
You typed it in all caps.
Hold on. I hate mock drafts. But we're going to do them. I give the people what they want. So we're going to do that. And we're going to do several of them here over the next 5.5 weeks. We're going to do Dolphins ones. We're going to do a first round mock in general. We just want free agency to clear first. So yeah, we'll do a freaking mock draft. God, people. Now, thank you all for joining us here on the Fin side. For this, really, it's kind of feels like a wrap up of the free agency here as we go along. Should see some more names filter in. We saw Brennan Scarlett filter in just 10 minutes before we went live here. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, all of our social media outlets. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_pick. Be sure to follow us on the Fansided and Fansided Network, as well as FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.